Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. This is the reading of God's Word. When one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man was giving a big dinner, and he has invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who have been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come.' And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, the crippled, and blind, and lame.' And the slave said, 'Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the highways and along the hedges, and compel them to come in, so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner.'" Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us, all of us, an ear to hear your word, so that we may truly hear your word, so that we will be more and more like your Son, as our faith will grow as we hear your word. And Father, through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has done, what he has accomplished for us. And Father, bless all of us that your word will be preached correctly, and all of us not only believe your word, but also obey your word. We thank you, God. We love you. And we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I always start with this. In the book of Luke, what we are looking at is life of Christ, and through his teachings and his works, Jesus Christ is witnessing the reality of the kingdom of God. Through two parables in verses 7 through 12, which we looked at last time, Jesus has witnessed to us what he is doing and what he is accomplishing. He came to the low place to save us who were in the low place, so that our God could raise us up with Christ to the high place of heaven, to the throne of our God. Jesus has saved us who were, spiritually speaking, the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. So that when Jesus will be blessed at the resurrection of the righteous, we will also be blessed. One who is hearing all this speaks. That's how our passage begins, verse 15. When one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." It seems that he is one of the Pharisees. who are there. He says, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. It seems that this person is saying this in rebellion against what Jesus has said. Well, Jesus said that at the resurrection in heaven, the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind will be blessed by God. But this person was saying that they, the Pharisees and the lawyers, are the ones who will be blessed. We are reminded of Luke chapter 3, verse 8. Therefore, bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones God is able to raise up children of Abraham. Just like those people, this person and the people who are in that dinner, they are so confident about their salvation. The Israelites, especially their leaders, they were so sure that they are the ones who will be blessed by God. Now, of course, having confidence in salvation by faith in Jesus Christ is good. But having confidence in their salvation by their works, that is truly wrong. That is what the arrogance is all about. And we could see from the parable of Jesus from verse 16 that we're going to look at today, that Jesus does not receive this comment by this person in a good way. And as you could see from what this person says to him, says to Christ, the kingdom of God is always in terms of the future. Even as Jesus witnesses that it is the present reality, that he is bringing that kingdom and he is accomplishing it, these people only understand heaven only in the future sense, like so many churchgoers today. And that is not what the Bible teaches. It's our present reality. Well, let's look at our passage, verse 16. But he said to him, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. But Jesus gives another parable. A man was giving a big dinner, but from this dinner party, Luke wants us to think about something else, the heavenly banquet. In verse 14, the resurrection is mentioned, and in verse 15, the kingdom of God is mentioned. And now in verse 16, a big dinner. Thus, as we put all these things together, we are reminded of the heavenly banquet. So this parable is all about our God inviting his people to his eternal banquet of heaven. A man is giving a big dinner and inviting many people. But Jesus continues the parable, verse 18. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have married a wife, and for that reason, I cannot come. They all alike began to make excuses not to come to the dinner. Now, Jesus gave us three examples of those excuses. The first person, he bought a piece of land. The second person, he bought 5 yoke of oxen, meaning 10 oxen. These two are obviously doing very well financially. You know, bought the land and also 10 oxen. You could tell they're living pretty well. But let me ask you a question. Does anybody buy a land without first go out and look at it? They just buy it without looking at it? So his excuse is that now he has to go and look at it? Does anybody buy 10 oxen without seeing if they are healthy to work at the field? You could see that both excuses are not good excuses. And it relates to their wealth. And the third person, he says, I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come. At least the first and the second person said, please consider me excused. But this third person just says, I cannot come. Just notifying that he is not coming. But again, his excuse is not a good excuse. The first two excuses concerns about their wealth. Here, the excuse concern of their family, earthly family. And our Lord Jesus Christ will expand on that next passage that we're going to look at. Now, all these three excuses are not good excuses when it comes to coming to God's dinner, coming to heavenly banquet. We saw it already from last sermon, inviting the guests and accepting the invitation in this world are dictated by how the guests and inviter are going to benefit from each other. If one feels by going to that party it will benefit me, that person will go. These three persons have decided that coming to the dinner will not bring any benefits, any profits to them. Do you really think that if they determine that coming to the dinner would benefit them so much, they would still stay away? That's how we decide on all things. Why do you come to this worship? Because you believe it's important. That it is good for you. And also, it is for His glory. See, they do not want the fellowship with the inviter, and have already determined that fellowshipping with that person who is invited and the people who are at the party will not benefit them at all. This is why they don't come. They don't like them. See, these people who are not coming, they don't like the people who are at the party and who invited them. Oh, if they love these people, they will definitely come. Luke chapter 14, verse 21 through 23. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the slave said, Master, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. The slave came back and said to the master that everyone made the excuses and refused to come. The master became very angry and said, Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind and lame. Even then there is more room. So master says, Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. Compel them does not mean to force them to come. God never forces anybody to do anything. And God definitely not begging you. He never begs. And we're going to see that reality next week. The master is saying that even if it takes so much convincing and through much effort, fill his house. Like we already concluded, this parable is about Jesus Christ inviting people to his heavenly banquet. The first group of people who were invited, they were the Israelites, especially their leaders. Jesus Christ came and accomplishing the kingdom of God, and he is inviting people to his kingdom, meaning he is inviting people to the heavenly fellowship with him. And this is exactly what Jesus is doing as we see him in the book of Luke. But as we see in the book of Luke, they rejected the invitation of Jesus Christ. Oh, they make so many excuses. They don't trust Christ. They don't believe in him. You see, they do not like heaven. They do not like Jesus Christ. Just like we said, if you like somebody and that person invites you, of course you're going to go. Why you wouldn't go? And if you like that person so much, oh, then nothing would hold you. But see, these people, they do not like heaven. They do not like Jesus. In fact, they love this world. Because they belong to this world. They cannot accept the invitation of Jesus Christ because to do so is to forsake this world. To accept the invitation of Jesus Christ, there is no worldly benefit. And I'm going to keep telling you this, but Jesus never promised you this world. He never promised you this world. So I don't understand all this complaint about Jesus not giving them things of this world. In terms of this world, only thing that he promised is that don't worry about what to eat, what to wear, what to drink. The daily bread is guaranteed. I give you those. That's it. You show me the verse that Jesus promises this world other than those things that we just said. And yet people are so upset, complaining to God that they don't have the things of the world as if God actually promised them. It's really weird if you think about it. Now, to accept Jesus' invitation, there is no worldly benefit. See, even if you receive his invitation, you could die tomorrow. Or you could get sick and die tomorrow. So if you're looking for worldly benefits, then there's no reason to accept the invitation of Christ. In John chapter 6, we read about Jesus feeding the 5,000 people. Well, in the Bible, usually the number doesn't include the children and the females. So 5,000 people could be like 10,000 if you add women and children who are there, even more than that. And Jesus feeds them with 5 bread and 2 fish. The people who ate misunderstood Jesus as the Messiah who will give them this world. So when we read John 6, verse 15, so Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to come and take him by force to make him king, withdrew again to the mountain by himself alone. Isn't that something that is good, that these people want him to be their king, and yet Jesus flees? Because their understanding of Jesus is just wrong. Because they ate the bread, they thought that, whoa, if I follow Jesus, then he's going to give me all we want in this world. So Jesus flees. These sinners were determined to follow Jesus. So if you read the verses that following that, it says that they try to find Jesus all night long. But Jesus knew their hearts. John 6, verse 26, 27, Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life. Brothers and sisters, to want, to desire Jesus according to this sinful world is to reject Jesus. And if we read the rest of John chapter 6, we see Jesus continues to teach them. He teaches them that they must suffer. And when we read John chapter 6, verse 60, therefore many of his disciples, and when the word disciples here, it is not referring to 12 disciples, it's the followers of Jesus. So many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, when they heard the teaching of Jesus, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? The phrase, the difficult statement, actually it means an offensive statement. Offensive. Because Jesus is teaching them about sufferings. So John 6, verse 66, as a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. They all went home. They did not follow him anymore. And we see these kind of people a lot in the church. man, they act like they're the, you know, the lovers of Christ and real disciples of Christ, and little hardship comes and many difficult times comes and they just stop coming to church. Because their understanding of Jesus is not biblical. They actually thought that Jesus promised them this world, even though He never did. I mean, how would you feel when you did not promise to give some person money, but he comes to you and complains to you that you're not giving him money? How would you feel when somebody does that to you? And yet there are so many Christians who do that. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Just like it, the Israelites and their leaders rejected Jesus. And that is what we are reading about in the book of Luke. So God says, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Now God invites the outcasts, the people who are rejected by the leaders of Israel. And God says, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. And finally, the Gentiles are invited. You see, this parable shows us what Jesus is doing. Like we always said, whatever we read in the Bible is about Christ. It's about what He does. It's about what He has done, what He has accomplished. And because it's about Christ, it's about us. It is all about how He came and accomplishes the kingdom of God and gathering His people into His kingdom by inviting them to come. Even today, many Christians, even through what church says today, God is inviting people to come to Him. But so many people, they reject Jesus. They don't want to come. Because to them, coming to Jesus benefits them nothing. Luke chapter 14, verse 24, for I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my dinner. Those Israelites who have rejected Jesus then, their leaders, Jesus says, that they will not taste the taste of His banquet of heaven. Luke chapter 13, verse 28. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out. And they will come from east and west and from north and south and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be the first, and some are first who will be the last. Jesus is saying this. All those who are considered by others in this world that they are definitely the citizens of heaven will not participate in the banquet of the kingdom of God. And all those who are rejected in this world, who are considered by others that they definitely will not be in heaven, will participate in the banquet of the kingdom of God. The world, once again, world has been put upside down. Oh, yeah. Even now, there are so-called religious leaders out there. And they are considered by so many people, oh, they belong to heaven. But you're not going to see them when you go. And there are people who are rejected by the world. And yet you will see them in heaven. See, it's not about how many people approves you, or how many of the people thinks that you're going to heaven. Because participating in the banquet of the kingdom of God, that is only by faith in Jesus Christ. Only those who accept Jesus Christ according to the Bible. We are not saved by our good works, and we cannot be confident of our salvation just because others acknowledge it. We must believe Jesus Christ. The question is, do you believe? So many people think just because they're born in Christian family, somehow they're already in heaven. No. You must believe. You could lie to everyone else except God. He knows you. And believing Him cannot wait. We must do it now. We must not say that we will do it later. I'm so busy right now. Later. I will faithfully serve Him later. No. We must do it right now. It is urgent. Luke chapter 13, 25. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door saying, Lord, open up to us. Then He will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. Once it closes, it will never be open again. Now, from the passage that we read today, what are we learning about ourselves? That you and I, we have been invited by our God to the eternal fellowship of heaven with Jesus Christ. That's what happened to you. That God has invited you to the eternal fellowship of heaven with Christ. And that you and I have accepted that invitation. That's what happened to us. You see, the eternal fellowship with Jesus Christ, this is what the reality of the banquet of the kingdom of God is all about. Now, question. How important that invitation is to you, and how important that acceptance of that invitation is to you? The fellowship with Jesus Christ, eating and drinking with Jesus Christ, how much do you benefit do you believe? How much it benefits you? Mark chapter 1, verse 17 through 20. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servant and went away to follow him. What kind of sons are these who left his father, their father, and just left them and followed Jesus? Next time we'll talk about it. What do you really think following Jesus really means? And I could tell you, it's not a trivial thing. At the invitation of Jesus to follow him, they immediately left their nets and followed him. Immediately they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went away to follow him. Do you see your spiritual reality? This is what happened to you if you are truly following Jesus. Bible tells you what is your reality. You may not see it, but you must believe. You know what you did? At the invitation of Jesus, you left all things to participate in the eternal banquet of heaven. That's what you did. You must believe. Bible shows you what you have done. That's what it means to accept the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ. From verse 7 through our passage, we saw three parables. As you already know, they are all the stories of Jesus Christ. To have the eternal fellowship of heaven with us, Jesus came to low place to raise us up to high place of heaven. Jesus invited all of us who is no benefit whatsoever to him, to his kingdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there are not many wise according to flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the things which are strong." "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God." Jesus invited you and you have accepted his invitation. He invited you to have eternal fellowship with him, to sit at his table and eat and drink with him. He invited you to eternal dinner with him. And what do you do when you're invited to dinner? You go and sit at the table and you have fellowship. That's what you do. That's what Christian life is all about. And if you forgot what Christian life is all about, please remember again. Our Lord and our God, Jesus Christ, wants to have fellowship with sinners like you. You and I have been invited and we have accepted his invitation. This is our reality. Then how much must we have fellowship with our Lord Jesus? You know, if you don't have fellowship with Christ, every day as you live your life. You know what that is like? Picture this. Someone invites you to a dinner. So you say, okay, I'll go. You accepted his invitation. And you go to his house, and you sit down at his table, and you refuse to have fellowship. And you don't even talk to the guy. You don't even look at him. You reject him, even though you accepted his invitation to come to dinner. But you don't even talk to the guy. You don't like him. You don't want him. Oh, your thinking is somewhere else. Someone else. That's what you're doing if you do not have daily fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. That is so bad. This is why God reminds you what you have done. What is your reality? God invited you to fellowship and you accepted it. You came. Well then, have a wonderful time fellowshipping with Christ. That's what your life is all about. That's what this parable tells us. Even you would not approve what you're doing in your life because it just doesn't make any sense. So why would we live like that? Why? And yet we do. Wake up. Understand the gospel. Understand the truth. Understand what has happened to you. I mean, you agree, right? To be Christian means that you have invited his invitation. Well then. You came to his party. Well, have a wonderful time with him. Why do we refuse? Revelation 3:20. Behold, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. Now, this verse is misused by so many people out there. It's not talking about Jesus knocking at the heart of non-Christian and asking non-Christian to open the door so that he could save him. That's not what it's about. Because Revelation 3, Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 contains seven letters to seven churches. So this letter is sent to the church, meaning Jesus is talking to Christians already who are Christians. He's not talking about non-Christian asking them to open the door. That's not what it's about. But he is standing at the heart of you, Christians. And he's knocking. Because he wants to have fellowship. Because you, Christian, he wants you to open the door so that he could come in and eat and drink with you. But you refuse to open the door. You refuse to have fellowship with Christ. Even though he's knocking every day, you have so many excuses like these people. I'm too busy. Oh yeah, I have all kinds of things I gotta do. Homeworks, tests, whatever. My projects, my whatever. And you refuse to open the door. You know, I'm reminded of this scene in Song of Solomon. In the Song of Solomon, there's a man, husband, knocking at the door so that wife could open the door, and he's keep knocking. And wife will not open the door because she's asleep. So this husband knocks at the door all night. And because it was all night, the dew was being collected over his hair. So he gets wet. That's how long he stays out there knocking and knocking, and the wife will not open the door. That is what is happening in your life if you refuse to have fellowship with Christ. Whatever reason, whatever excuses you might have because you're so busy, Jesus is keep on knocking. Please, open the door. Open. So that Jesus will have fellowship with you. He has invited you and you have accepted His invitation. To have the fellowship of heaven with Christ is so natural for us. Well, at least it should be. And that is our present spiritual heavenly reality. And we must witness that reality in our lives as we live our lives here on earth. Through our passage, understand what has happened to you. What is your reality? And witness it. Show it through your life. It's just a wonderful picture of who we are in Christ. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We do have amazing salvation that Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. It's not economic salvation. It's not political salvation. It's not anything like that. But it is salvation from sin and this world so that we could have eternal fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us understand and believe how blessed we are, how happy we must be. And by faith, by believing that, they will be able to witness that reality. Bless us. We pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.